This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. 16-time Grammy winner Jimmy Sturr, the Polka King, will join us in just a bit to talk about his fascinating and illustrious career. But first, here are 10 things that we will see in 10 years. Some people at NASA think we'll discover alien life by 2025. But what will life on Earth be like then? Well, they say we'll finally discover who Mona Lisa was. Some think Leonardo da Vinci modeled his masterpiece after a woman named Lisa, the wife of a wealthy cloth merchant who commissioned the piece to a then-broke da Vinci. Researchers believe they may have found her remains in a convent in Florence, Italy. If the carbon-14 tests confirm that it's her, scientists will also do DNA tests to determine the color of her eyes, skin, and hair. With that information, they'll be able to confirm that she is the world's most famous half-smiler. Grocery store checkout lines, ancient history. The question, paper or plastic, will be a distant memory within 10 years. The Food Marketing Institute predicts that by 2025, customers will no longer wait in lines to check out at grocery stores. Just like a car zipping through an electronic toll booth, shoppers will walk out the door and a frictionless checkout will automatically account for products in their carts and debit their account. Within 10 years, the internet may have met its doom. If you need an excuse for spending all afternoon watching YouTube, here's one. The internet could soon be a thing of the past. If we don't figure out a way to provide data faster, it could collapse by 2023. People forget that the internet is made largely of fiber optic cables strung across the ocean floor. Those cables can keep up with only so much data, and research suggests we could hit a point where no more information can be crammed into a single fiber. Basically, the internet could become full. The repercussions, spotty service or providers installing more cables, sending internet prices skyrocketing. Within 10 years, marijuana could become a legal, lucrative career. By 2020, legal marijuana will be a $35 billion industry in the United States. A study by ArcView Market Research suggested as many as 18 states could legalize recreational pot use, while nearly twice that many legalize it for medical use, and that means jobs. Within 10 years, we'll be flying on fungus. Those leaves you rake every fall may fuel your vacation. Researchers at Washington State University have discovered that under certain conditions, a black fungus that thrives in decaying leaves, soil, and fruit can be used to create hydrocarbons that could help make jet fuel. Researchers hope the fungus will start to fuel flights within the next 5 years. Within 10 years, you will have survived yet another cicada plague. In 2021, after 17 years of living in the ground, eating tree roots, cicadas will claw out of the dirt to breed. They'll be so big that in the Northeast, there could be 1.5 million cicadas for every acre. And they will be singing love songs for weeks. The invasion won't be a threat to crops, but stock up on the earplugs. A tree full of buzzing cicadas can top 100 decibels. Within 10 years, aliens will be exposed. By 2024, a powerful radio telescope will help answer the biggest questions plaguing Earth's biggest brains. It'll become our greatest tool in the search for alien life. The internet could be listening to your private conversations. There are more and more devices like Amazon's Echo, which is a digital assistant that can be set up in your home or office to listen for various requests such as a song, a sports score, or the weather. In theory, these devices could be used to listen to your private conversations. Amazon says Echo users don't need to worry about the device eavesdropping on them because there are safeguards that let users know when it's recording. A new study from CareerBuilder found almost two-thirds of American workers think the 8-hour workday is a thing of the past. Half of those surveyed say they check work email when they're not at work, and more than one-third say they work well after traditional office hours. One out of five people say they think about work until they fall asleep, and more than 40% wake up thinking about work. I ran into Polka King and 16-time Grammy winner Jimmy Sturr, who remembers a great night at the Red Dog Saloon in Juneau, Alaska.
This is for a national show that I have called America Weekend. Plays in like 25 cities.
Really?
From Juneau. I know you're big in Juneau.
Juneau, Alaska?
You know another one?
Let me tell you, don't laugh. I remember one time when I was playing up there on a cruise. We stopped in Juneau. What's the name of that famous bar? Ding dong. But anyway, I get a telephone call. I'm in at the bar, and then my secretary back home knew where I was and everything. You're not going to believe this. Guy says, telephone call for Jimmy Stern. I said, what? All the way up here in Alaska. What's going on? So anyway, I go to the phone. It's Willie Nelson.
Oh, I swear
to God, Willie Nelson. He wanted to talk to me. My secretary gave him where I was and everything. He called me. So I'm talking to him, and there's these two young girls, waitresses. So I said to him, I said, you want to talk to Willie Nelson? They thought I was kidding. I said, no, I mean, this is really Willie Nelson. I said, Willie, you talk to these two girls. He said, I like to do that. So the two girls, when they got off that phone with them, they screamed because they could tell by his voice it was really him. But what a great story.
I think they're probably telling the same story today, right? All these years later.
They must be because it was just, but I can't remember the name of that. It's a famous place. Like sawdust on the floor. But you hear about it all the time. I can't remember it.
Well, you've played all over the world, literally, right? You've traveled the world doing your polka music.
You know what? I've even played Poughkeepsie. No, you know, I take a beating sometimes with the word polka, which I'm proud of, don't get me wrong. But, you know, our band, we can play, you know, we play all kinds. We just came back. We played Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We played Hershey with Bobby Vinton. Our band with Bobby Vinton. I mean, it's a great show. A couple nights ago, we were with Gary Puckett and Union Gap with our band. We tour all over the country, you know, just playing, you know, all kinds of music. One guy that tours with us is the guitar player for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Chris Caffery. He does, except for the 2 months he's out with Trans-Siberian, he plays with us. So that means that our band plays a lot of rock music, which we do. And he plays, I mean, you know, not a lot, but, you know, you get up there, do, you know, a whole bunch of songs, and it's cool as heck.
Well, you know, and Chris is somebody that I've met, and I've watched him perform with TSO for many, many years, so that's pretty cool. And I know he's a local guy, too, and you are from the village of Florida in Orange County, New York. And when you drive into the village, I'm sure you're very proud, there's a sign on either end of town that says you are entering Florida, New York, the home of Jimmy Stern. That must give you, a great deal of pride.
You know, it really does. I'm excited. I've lived in the same house all my life. I mean, I went away. I graduated when I got out of high school. I graduated from one of the military academies. Went into the Army. The band stayed together. I got out. And, you know, we just kept on going from there. We've been going ever since.
And how many years now?
I'll tell you. I'm not. I started as 11 years old. I'm 63. So figure it out.
Wow. Wait, so over 50 years on the road and in town and playing all over. Is there a favorite venue that sticks in your mind other than the bar in Alaska where Willie Nelson called you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of favorites. But one of my favorites is every year we get the opportunity to go to Texas, and we play for a festival down there called Worst Fest. And on a Saturday night, we'll get 20 to 25,000 people. I mean, they're not older people. They're everybody, from young kids to middle-aged to older people. And they just love that style of polka music, and they just go berserk.
Jimmy Stern, you've had a remarkable career. Where do you keep all your Grammy Awards?
Right at home. Right at home. I'm a lucky guy. You know, I've done so many things. One of the things I'm really proud of, and it's I'm the only band with horns, the only band ever to appear on the Grand Ole Opry. No other band has ever appeared on the Grand Ole Opry with horns. They're not allowed. In fact, there's a good story. There's a band that you might have remembered many years ago called Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, of course, out of Texas. And they did a million hits. Of course, Tony Bennett did a couple of Bob Wills hits and made them his hits. But anyway, they got to the Opry, the Texas Playboys with Bob Wills, and getting ready to play. Somebody came up to us and said, you know, Bob, we don't allow horns on the Opry. They said, he turned around to his band and said, pack her up, boys, we're going home. And he did. He left and went home. Is that a cool story?
That is a cool story. I guess they hadn't paid him in advance, so he could just up and go, right?
No, you don't get much money. You know, you get a little money for doing the Opry, but not that much. But, you know, the Opry was great. But, you know, I do a lot of stuff. Willie Nelson, we have a brand new CD just came out with Willie singing with our band. It's actually our fifth CD with Willie. And the way I got the idea to ask Willie to record with us is I read his autobiography, and it said in there, Willie Nelson got started in a polka band back in Texas. I said, man, if I ever get the opportunity to talk to Willie, I'm going to ask him. Sure, I played Hunter Mountain for the back then, the country festival, and I don't know whether Willie, I can say Willie was my closing act or I was Willie's opening act, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, I went up to him afterwards, and I said, would you ever, he said, he hesitated, he said, well, I'd like to do that. Gave me his telephone number on the bus. I called him thinking, well, that's not really his number. We made the deal, and he did it for nothing. I mean, he didn't charge me anything, and we just did our fifth CD with Willie Nelson singing with our band, Polka Music.
That's the best, the best. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much. You've had a wonderful career. We've actually worked together, like you said, in Poughkeepsie many, many, many years ago, and we're still both going strong. I just realized we're about the same age. So, well, you graduated from, what, Florida High School back in the day?
Seward Institute is known as Florida High School, and, you know, I just kept right on going from there.
All right. Well, Jimmy, all the best and continued success in the future.
Well, thank you so much.
With Jimmy Sturr, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Is it okay to talk to yourself? Is it equally okay to answer yourself? It's essential. Here's the science of it.
Hey, now you listen to me.
Once upon a time, every behavior required a step-by-step learning approach. Over time, they've become automatic. However, talking to yourself out loud is a way to coach yourself through any activity, even maintain safety. Today's modern aircraft employs this technique, pre-wired with cockpit voices, walk pilots through difficult problems. Use this technique to reduce accidents in your house. As you go up or down stairs, remind yourself out loud, hold on, pay attention to what I'm doing.
Listen to me, listen to me.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Talking yourself into being careful is not silly. It's very safe and very smart. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Dave and Mary are getting a divorce. The court has scheduled their trial date 9 months from now. But Dave has moved out, so what's Mary supposed to live on in the meantime? As a housewife, she always let Dave take care of the finances. When the divorce is final, she'll be granted alimony. But can she receive payments before the divorce? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
Ex Machina is a smart, cool, stylish, great-looking movie. Hashtag sexy robot. The meat.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Ant-Man. Now playing.
Mary can file a request for temporary alimony. The couple will present oral arguments to a judge who will decide how much and for what length of time. And that's the final verdict.